Mad Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Pedro Gomez going to be with us. What do you do with Archie Bradley? What can you do with Archie Bradley? I talked to Pedro about that today, and Archie struggled again last night at St. Louis. Disappointing. Eddie Johnson is going to be with us, Fox Sports Arizona Suns analyst also. He is part of SiriusXM's NBA channel, one of the experts there every day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. EJ has his own show. I wonder if EJ would rather play with LeBron or MJ, because he has seen both, obviously. He's played with against one of those players. And I have my own thought as to who he would rather have as his teammate, and we'll get into that with EJ. Steph Curry, if he should have been allowed back in, I just think the playoffs, in my estimation, have been dreadful, okay? There's been moments of excitement, but anybody who's going to try to tell me that Atlanta was nothing more than a speed bump for Cleveland, you're just fooling yourselves. And on the other side, there's entirely too much fouling. Dwight Howard's going to play tonight. Of course he is. Why would he be suspended? Because it wasn't really an elbow, according to Rod Thorne, that was thrown. I guess, I don't know, I just didn't see the game the way that Rod Thorne saw it. So of course Dwight Howard's going to play tonight. Here in the middle of the day, there's this total scandal going on in soccer, nationally and worldwide, that involves corruption around the U.S. And FIFA officials have face U.S. corruption charges right here in our own backyard. And they've figured out who's going to be on Hard Knocks. Some of you get all wound up about being on Hard Knocks. I've always felt like it's a good thing the Cardinals are not on Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks, I think, back in the day was a pretty cool, it's HBO, if you're not familiar with it. It's one of these deals they do in August. It's like a reality show around NFL training camps, which, in my estimation, have become close to worthless. They have these meaningless walkthroughs where backup left tackles are analyzed in the end of May. And it's just another way to go for the low-hanging fruit. The game itself on Sundays, once you get to September, is great. All the nonsense and crapola around it are just, it's meaningless to me. But they figured out the team, evidently, who's going to be on Hard Knocks, and I can actually make some pretty good arguments that this is a good choice. We'll get into that as the show moves on as well. Our website, very important, sports360az.com. We're Arizona-centric. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, statewide, worldwide, wherever you're checking us out. Check out the Honda Resort and Casino the next time you're in Arizona, northeastern part of the state, up in the beautiful White Mountains. I will be there next month at the Honda Resort and Casino. I'll be over at the Pine Top Lakes Country Club, emceeing the big Arizona State Sun Devil Steak Fry with Coach Graham and Coach Hurley and Ray Anderson. A lot of the fans are going to stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Great food, great fun, great entertainment. The Timbers Lounge, that's a place to be. You pull down on that slot. You go play some golf up in the White Mountains during the day, or go hiking, camp, backpacking, whatever it may be. And then at night, enjoy the entertainment, the great fun at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, where the powwow in the pines comes up next week. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Again, Pedro Gomez in about 10 minutes, Eddie Johnson at about 10:35. So I want to start today. There's, I think that the Diamondbacks, to me, I watched last night, and then I had to run out for my son's basketball practice and came back and was following the game on Twitter. That's where people follow content now. And saw where Archie was getting hit around. And he struggled again last night. He was, I thought after the game, he stood up, looked into the cameras. When he was on the mound, the Cardinals were able to batter him around last night.
Goes the other way, slicing and fair into the corner. One run is in. They'll wave in Holiday, digging for the plate. Relay, not in time. Peralta puts the Cardinals on top 3-2.
And after a 2-0 lead that he gave right back to St. Louis, Archie, 3 2/3 innings on the night. Here he is after the loss.
Give me 2 runs in the first, and you go out there and give 4 right back, and just, you know, it's frustrating, to say the least. Frustrating. Just kind of take a look at some things, you know. Not very pleased, not very happy. You know, it's pretty embarrassing, to be honest. So just got to regroup and, you know, come to the yard tomorrow and get back to work.
Okay, he's stand-up guy, sits there and takes the questions, has good answers, but results are what I need to see. And if you're Tony La Russa and you're Dave Stewart and you're Chip Hale and you're Mike Harkey, the pitching coach, Mike Harkey looked like he was going to blow it. Eric, did you see last night in the first inning?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, Harkey looked like his head was going to explode.
Yeah, he had that look in his eyes like, come on. Come on.
When the pitching coach comes out and he's really animated and his head is kind of bobbing up and down, you know, you'd like to see that shot of the lips moving and to read lips. The great Vin Scully would say, he says that's horse bleep and bleep and bleep. You know, that would be, I love that. That is part of sports, you know, not sugarcoated. That is what people want to see. And Harkey is very animated and he should be very animated. He's that way with everybody. You know, Hellickson, I'm surprised Hellickson still has a backside that was chewed on so hard by Harkey the first few outings. But what do you do? You know, do you say we're going to take you out of the rotation? I don't think that's the answer. Do you just say we got to get him back up on the mound?
It's hard to believe that this is the same pitcher that outdueled Madison Bumgarner and Clayton Kershaw to start the year and looked lights out. I mean, just, wow, this guy is as great as everyone thought he was going to be. And then the injury, and now his ERA is at 5.5.
Is this Tom Cruise in Top Gun after the plane crash?
Yeah,
we'll got to get him back out there. Get him back up in the air. You know, you just have to throw him back up there, and does he eventually have a breakthrough?
Well, it's part of becoming a pitcher at the major league level. You're going to have the ups and the downs. So,
well, it's hard to watch because the level of anticipation when Archie Bradley pitches is much greater than any of the other pitchers with the Diamondbacks. It just is. It's not a slight towards those guys. It's just a fact. People tell me, when's Archie pitching next? That is kind of like, in a long-distance sort of way, how it was with Schilling and Johnson back in the day.
And when Patrick Corbin comes back, Brad, I think there'll be the same anticipation. And if they move Daniel Hudson to a starter again, maybe we get a little bit more buzz. But, yeah, it's definitely – it's Bradley and then everyone else.
I mean, they're talking about Vidal Nuno.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know, I'm watching Brenly and Berthume after the game, and it's just kind of reading between what they can say and can't say. And it sounds as though, to me – then, you know, internally it's, all right, what are we going to do here with Bradley and what are we going to do with Colemanter? Colemanter throws again tonight. I think the bigger story here is Tomas had 3 RBIs last night. Now, he left the bases loaded in the 7th. He left 2 on to finish the game. That's 5 guys he left out on the pads. But it's very clear Tomas can flat out hit. And it's very clear to me that the biggest storyline in the field is when Jake Lamb is back, and Tomas doesn't play third base with a knife and a fork over there, they're going to have to make a move because they cannot afford to take him out of the lineup now. They just can't. And if they feel like Lamb is better at third base and you put Tomas in the outfield, or if they feel like, you know what, Tomas is good enough, he can play over third base, let's keep him there, but you can't take him out. I did find myself, I don't know how many of you saw the Chris Bryant, Bryce Harper home runs last night. Bryce Harper looked like he was going to slam his bat and break it, and he hits the ball out of the park. And then Chris Bryant hit a ball about as far as Andres Galarraga or Dave Kingman hit one at Wrigley Field. It was fun. So I watched a lot of that last night. I did get over to the Cavaliers and the Hawks for maybe a minute. There's nothing really interesting to me in that series, and I'm glad that it's over. Atlanta at one time, great regular season team. Budenholzer is a coach right here in our state. I'm not bad-mouthing him. That team, though, just doesn't have much or didn't have much of anything because they had injuries that hit them. And then they're just kind of a group of guys playing basketball. There's no star attraction. On the other side, David Griffin. David, I should have told you, Eric, to get a picture of Griff. I'm going to talk about David Griffin a little bit later in the show. For those of you that are sitting at your cubicle or whatever it is that you're doing in life and you feel like you're a million miles away from what you really want to do, you need to read the David Griffin story or hear what I'm going to say about him later on in this show. It is the total act of perseverance. It is, yes, I'm in the stadium sitting on the very top row doing what I want to do. And one day I'm going to be down there on the floor and I'm going to be doing exactly what it is I want to do. The story of David Griffin here in Arizona Sports is one that is is about as encouraging as you would want to get. Am I overstating this? You know the backstory.
No, already. No. He started from the bottom, and now he's closing in on the top.
We're talking about a guy that used to call me and say, practice is going to end at 11:30, and the players will be available to about 11:45, and Charles is not practicing, or AC is out there, or Manning may talk. I mean, that's where he was.
He was running stats.
Yeah, during timeouts,
yep.
Suns games, here's your stat sheet. Here's what happened. And now he's the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are the Eastern Conference champs. He did the video room here in Phoenix. I mean, he did everything. And he did it all right here in Phoenix. That's a terrific story. There's a press conference over at Grand Canyon University at 11:30 this morning. And at that press conference, given who's going to be there and speak, Brian Mueller, the president, Jerry Colangelo, Dan Marley, and Andy Stankiewicz, I don't think they're talking about a 4-on-4 team that they're putting together. I don't think they're talking about, well, I could be wrong on this. I don't think they're talking about more building projects, although they might. One of my friends said Grand Canyon University, GCU, says Grand Construction University because it's always under construction. There's so much going on there. I am willing to bet that they're going to announce contract numbers for Stankiewicz and Marley. I heard yesterday U of A was all over Stankiewicz after Andy Lopez retired day before yesterday. Heard they were all over him. I don't know if Greg Byrne would ever admit to that. I've heard Andy Stankiewicz is one of the hottest names going out there. And in Marley's case, you know, if you put his financial number north of other coaches, I don't know if he'll get to Hurley's range. Hurley's only at $1.2 million. I say that flippantly, but that's, you know, that's how it is in pro sports and in collegiate sports. But if they move that number further up, it's going to show a real sign of commitment. I'm expecting something on that front today. And Jared Cohen from Sports 360 AZ will be out there. The Suns have a bunch of draft prospects in today, including Kevin Pangos from Gonzaga. Would I like Kevin Pangos on the Suns? I think I would. I don't know where he'd fit. Aaron Harrison from Kentucky is here, too. I kind of like him. So both those players are down there. When I say Pangos, where would he fit? You know, you look at the Suns and building their roster. I think they need more help on the front court. On the other side, Pedro Gomez. Not only are we going to talk about Archie Bradley with Pedro, but if you guys notice that these two relief pitchers were suspended for having too much goop on them, and it just quietly went under the radar, I think it's a pretty interesting and significant story about the suspensions, 8 games apiece. We'll talk to Pedro about that as well next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmat.
Pedro Gomez joins us every week. I don't like to make this the Archie Bradley segment, but he's been in the news quite a bit. What do you do with him if you're the Diamondbacks after another poor showing last night, even by his own admission now? He's beaten himself up pretty good. What do you do with him?
Well, you look at the option. And you look at what you have at AAA, or, you know, obviously an option is Vidal Nuño. That is an option, and maybe you can send Bradley down to AAA to get a little bit more work, so to speak. And really, it's not about getting work. It's about getting confidence. That's the thing you do. However, you know what? I look back to a guy like Tom Glavine back in 1991. The Atlanta Braves brought him up. He probably was not completely ready, but the Braves knew we have something special in this kid, and we're not a very good team this year, so we're going to struggle. I think he ended up going 7-17, I want to say, 9-17, something like that. And at the end of the year, I know that Glavine sat in his locker. I talked to somebody who was in that clubhouse, and they said he was just done, like in the sense of, I don't have what it takes to pitch at this level. I'm not good enough to compete against the best players in the world. And somebody from the Braves, the pitching coach, came over and said, listen, there was a plan to this. We know that you are young. We knew that you were going to struggle against major league hitters the first time around. But we know that you're going to have a special career. We know you're going to be great. And sure enough, look what happened to Tom Glavine. He turned into a 300-game winner and a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying that that's going to be the case with Archie Bradley, of course. You can never say that.
Sure.
However, there are times that an organization is going to say, let's let him take his licks at the major league level rather than at AAA, because maybe this year we don't have enough to compete. But if he's here all season, if he's in the rotation all season, well, now guess what? Next year, when he comes to spring training, he's going to know exactly what it takes to be much better. And that's something that I think that probably the Diamondbacks might consider with a guy like Archie Bradley, because he is special. There is something about him. He does have that it factor, and he is going to be a part of this rotation, barring injury, of course, for years to come. So why not let him learn how to be a major league pitcher at the major league level rather than at the AAA level when, yeah, you could have some success, but it could also be kind of blind success.
All right.
It's not the same.
You're really depressing me here because I have 84 wins, Peg.
I told you before the season.
All right. Who did you say was going to be the surprise team in the NL West? Was it the Rockies? I think it was. So,
I did.
Let's just, you know, I'm looking.
So we're even.
Yeah, there's some days where I feel pretty good about the 84, and then Tomas leaves five on in the last two innings. But seriously, what I'm hearing from you about Archie is, you don't think that this is psychological still remains from being hit by the line drive. You think this is just inexperience and teams figuring him out. Am I reading you right on that?
Absolutely. I don't think it has anything to do with being hit in the head. I think in speaking to him, I got a really, really good vibe from him. I think he's not a guy that is, you know, hey, I'm the best guy on the planet. Watch me. It's not that. He does have confidence.
Sure.
And the Diamondbacks recognize that. And I think there are times that you just go with it and say, this guy is going to be a big part of our future. Why are we going to waste him down at AAA for 2 or 3 months where his numbers are going to be great, but he's not facing the guys that he's going to have to face next year? If he were a marginal prospect or just a gamble-type prospect,
yeah,
I would say, no. Send him to AAA. Let him get some confidence. But this is a guy that might be the cornerstone of your rotation for years. It's okay to let him struggle at the big league level because you're telling him you're a big leaguer. It doesn't matter. Don't worry. Go out and get better. And I think the results will follow.
Talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Where does Mike Harkey play in all of this? I mean, yesterday he comes to the mound and he is all over Archie in the first inning. That is what that's what I've seen out of Mike Harkey. Is more often than not, he's out there early chewing on his starting pitchers. I'm fine with that, but what's your view of Mike Harkey in the development of Archie Bradley?
Well, Mike Harkey is a pitching coach who has some experience. He's not new at the game. And he also was in New York, with the Yankees. So he's somebody that recognizes what pressure is and knows that. He also, don't forget, was a high draft pick who was supposed to, you know, put the baseball world on its side. And his career didn't quite measure up to that. He had a good career, a decent career, but not anything that, you know, you'd say, wow, that was a first-round pick and look how good. But he did have a major league career. And I think Mike Harkey, when you look at him, you look at guys like David Robertson, who's now the closer for the White Sox, who he really played a big role of developing. Jabba Chamberlain, who's, you know, you could argue one way or the other that hasn't lived up to
bounced around, maybe.
The billing, but. Yeah. Still is in the big league still to this day, and that's saying something right there. So he has developed some young pitchers. Archie Bradley might be the best of that crop that he has had his hands on, but, hey, sometimes guys need tough love. I've got no problem, like you just said, with him getting on Archie. Archie's a guy that can take it, and I think Mike Harkey recognizes who can take it and who can't. And he knows that Archie Bradley can absolutely absorb those kind of hits and be better for it.
Right away from the Diamondbacks with Pedro Gomez, two relief pitchers suspended for goop on their arm. Okay, is this something that Major League Baseball has to look at and say the days of rosin are changing? How common is this? Is this a concern? Are there hitters saying, I'd rather them have better control of a baseball because I don't want 95 miles an hour thrown at my head? Where are you at on this?
I don't think hitters are actually saying that. I know that that's kind of a popular theme, but I don't think hitters say, yeah, let them load up so that it's not going at my head. Hitters know that pitchers have a lot of control with or without anything, any substance. Where I'm at is, you know, hitters get to use everything imaginable when they step into a batter's box. And pitchers are supposed to just use rosin. Well, I think it's time for Major League Baseball to say, look, let's let them use some substance. Let's approve of a substance that we know will give them a little bit of tackiness so that they do get a better grip on the ball. The problem is that pitching has really, really taken off in the last couple of years, and hitters are at a huge disadvantage. You just look at the number of runs scored in a game, and they're down. Mm. You look at offenses, they're down. So you give pitchers even more. Who knows what that could do to the balance of the game? But, you know, it is something that's been going on for decades.
Sure.
And it's not going to stop. And I just think it's time for baseball to regulate it.
What regulation? I mean, is it a jar of Vaseline? I mean, who knows what it could be? But I,
yeah.
The slickness of a baseball. All right, I wanted to get your thought on last night. More impressive to you, Chris Bryant's home run or Bryce Harper's home run last night in Chicago? Bryant's was, man, where Andres Galarraga hit one, or Dave Kingman, right?
I know. I would say Bryant only because Bryant has about 6 weeks of big league service time, whereas Bryce has, you know, he's in his third year. So I think you have to look at, hey, this guy just is barely up there. Now I do know that Bryant is older. And that's something that's kind of forgotten because Bryce has been around for so long.
They're in Vegas together, right? They were in Vegas together, right?
Oh yeah, they played high school ball against each other.
Yeah.
And club ball and all of that. But you know, we've been hearing about Bryce forever, so we just assume that he's 25, 26, 27 years old, when in fact he's 22, and Chris Bryant is older. But Harper does have a lot more big league service time. He knows big league pitching a lot better. So for that reason, I'm going to take Bryant's homer as more impressive.
Before I get you out of here, so your son is there 1 year at U of A, and he forces Andy Lopez to retire. I mean, what's that all about? I mean, your kid drove him nuts.
Drove him out. Exactly.
Get out of here. In all seriousness, were you surprised by Andy Lopez's retirement? Your son is there. He's having a good first season. Were you surprised by this?
Not entirely, because there was some talk amongst the players that Andy was not the same guy. That there were times that the team would lose in years past or win a game that maybe they should have won in better fashion. And Andy had no qualms about lighting into the players. And you know what I mean by lighting into
sure,
them. Just
sure.
think of you know, a coach, Vince Lombardi, whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
just,
yeah.
You know, getting all the veins popping in his neck, everything. And there were times this year that the players would come back into the clubhouse and fully expect, you know, the wrath to the Hurricane Andy to explode. And he would just say, hey, guys, let's just try to get him tomorrow. And for that reason, they thought, hey, there's something different right now with Andy. And in speaking to him, I had a long conversation with him yesterday. You know, he's had health issues. He did have quadruple bypass surgery 2 years ago. Mm. And he did tell me, and he said this in his press conference yesterday, there were times this season when he felt tightness in his chest. And he said, you know, do I choose life or do I choose baseball? And he chose life.
Yeah.
And you can't argue. I mean, he's still young. He's 62 years old. He's not going to be a head coach ever again, but I would be shocked if he's not involved with baseball at some level. Maybe he'll take a year off to be with his wife. He did say that he's never had a honeymoon with his wife, and they've been married 30-some years. So, hey, he's earned the right to take a year off and do whatever he wants. grown children. You know, they've all graduated college. So it was a wonderful experience for Rio, and obviously we're excited to see who is coming in.
Yeah, you know, I'm banging the drum for Pat Murphy. My tongue's my tongue is in my cheek, by the way. But yeah, you know, the U of A people went crazy, apoplectic yesterday on me on that one. I said, what do you think about Pat Murphy being the guy at U of A? Oh, my gosh. How could that ever happen?
Why? Relax. Why is that such an impossibility? I've actually heard that name mentioned.
Yeah.
As a possible. Hey, think about it. What mission would Pat Murphy make it from day one if he were to get that job?
Beat ASU.
Absolutely.
Beat their heads in.
Crush.
Yeah,
that would be his mission.
Yeah.
Crush. Not just beat. Crush.
Yeah.
And I think the only people that would be more upset than ASU people if that were to happen would be the rest of the pack. Because they did not, you know, Murph is look, you and I like the guy, but there are some people that don't.
No question.
And the rest of the pack would probably be saying, wait a second, we thought we got rid of this guy. Now we have to deal with him again? And don't forget that Murph's last 4 years in Tempe, they won the pack every one of those last four seasons there. So his track record in the conference is fantastic.
Yeah, Tracy Smith against Pat Murphy, that would be must-see TV. That would be
absolutely. Be every year, five times a year.
All right, get out of here. Appreciate your time. We'll talk next week.
Okay, Brad, take care.
There's Pedro Gomez for a couple of minutes. ESPN Baseball Insider. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Let me tell you my Santan Ford experience yesterday. Drove up here, my 42.5-mile commute, pull into the parking lot at the Palatial Skyview Uptown Studios in Scottsdale, 53.4 miles to the gallon, 53.4. Eric and I had some business meetings yesterday afternoon. I had to be basketball dad last night. This morning, drive back up here. I've got some meetings around town today, a couple more meetings over on the west side, and my gas gauge has barely moved. I don't know about you, but when I drive by gas stations and see 270 and 280, I'm driving a hybrid. I'm driving the Ford Fusion Hybrid from Santan Ford. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it upright. Been telling you about them since day one here at sports360az.com. They've been great partners, and that's the place you need to go to for your next new or used. Do the certified pre-owned. That's what I did for my wife and her Explorer just last November. At Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, where it is all about you, or go to santanford.com. Eddie Johnson, EJ, is next. Would he rather have LeBron or MJ as a teammate? What does he make out of the Steph Curry concussion, and was it a flagrant on Dwight Howard? Should he be playing tonight? All straight ahead on the other side. Eddie Johnson joins us now for a couple of minutes. You can catch EJ over on SiriusXM. I hear his show over there. He is... Well, he's really unplugged, which is great. And he's at JumpShot8 on Twitter, at JumpShot8. You can follow him there. Who would you rather have as a teammate, LeBron or MJ?
It all depends on the period, right? If I had to just be put to the test, I would say LeBron.
I would agree
with
you.
The reason why is, look, I was an offensive player. And I always persevered in a team concept where if you were open, you got it. And if you could shoot, your team's pretty much acclimated to you. Well, you know, Jordan historically never really played with great offensive players next to him. He was always the guy that took the shot. And the other guys just got whatever he could get to them. And to me, that would have been frustrating as a player. And that's why I hold Magic Johnson as the best player ever, because of his ability to make teammates better, to share the ball, and just have an unselfishness about his game all around. And LeBron James is probably Magic 2.0.
He's closing in on that, EJ. I mean, I could never imagine you playing with MJ. I couldn't imagine you playing with Kobe Bryant. I mean, those are players, and I know we're talking hypotheticals here, but those are players that would not look to pass first. And LeBron's as close to Magic as I've seen. And we're both about the same age. And for those that didn't see Magic back in the day, this is pretty special. There is not the razzle dazzle with LeBron that Magic would have, but the passing of him is so good and is not talked about enough.
Yeah, exactly. But he could put the razzle-dazzle in there if he wanted to, but he chose not to. You know, the people just don't understand. They are so enamored with the myth of Michael Jordan, and rightly so. But the bottom line is this guy is going to eclipse every statistical record that Jordan has. The only thing that he can't get is the fact that Jordan won 6 championships, and he did it every time he went to the final.
Right.
But what people don't think about is the fact that what about the years he didn't get to the final? What about the years he lost in the first round? What about the years he lost in the second round? The fact that LeBron James is going to the finals for the 5th straight year is amazing to me. It is amazing how someone can do that and then on 2 separate teams.
Well, if you remember when he did the guarantee in Miami, fans crushed him for that.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's actually right. I understand the 2-3 record overall, and there's people who say, well, he's lost 3 times, been to the finals. He's been to the finals, and he said he was going to do it. Not once, not twice, not 3, not. But he's done it, and this team is really not that good compared to some of his other teams, in my opinion.
You know, I wish that I would have gone ahead and got my degree in psychology, because social networking is a psychologist's dream. Because I have never seen so many people with so much dislike for greatness in all my life. I mean, no matter what he does, you get these people that come on and they still have a criticism of him. And I'm like, how can you have a criticism of a guy that, one, admits that he had to go learn how to win in Miami? But not only did he learn how to win, he led that team. Won an MVP while he was there. And then had a great conscience to go back to the city that really has his heart in Cleveland, despite his relationship with the owner, and go back there and then get them to the finals again. And not only that, you know, Fred, and, you know, look, I follow athletes all the time, and I always talk about this. That's why I wrote my book. And that's why I'm enamored with LeBron, because, you know, people want to dislike a guy.
Yeah.
But this guy married his high school sweetheart, who he has 2 kids by. You've never heard him getting in trouble off the court. He sent his best friends to school to teach them the business, and now these guys are running his empire. And he's become one of the best leaders this league has seen. Players want to play with him. So if you're a person out there in cyberspace behind your walls in your home, and you're still finding a reason to dislike him, something's wrong with you. And I truly believe that. Something's wrong with you. It's not him. It's you. And because if I had a child, I would want my child to carry himself like he does. And that's why I enjoy watching.
Let me ask you this. We're talking with Eddie Johnson. So, EJ, LeBron reportedly said that Tristan Thompson should be given a lifetime contract in Cleveland. Does he need Kevin Love to come back next year?
I don't think Kevin Love's coming back.
Yeah.
And you know, look, they tried to trade him during the trade deadline, and it was close to happening. And so, you know, that just didn't mix. And I don't, not playing, because I think LeBron can play with anyone. I think Kevin Love, as a lot of young players do, they tend to think that they can carry their own team. And, yeah, he carried Minnesota, but he only carried them to the lottery. And I think he fought with that. I think he fought with maybe having a bigger role than he thought he would have. And I guess he found out that he and LeBron aren't exactly great friends off the court, which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, some people just don't mix. And I think Kevin Love had problems all year, his demeanor, and he was unhappy. And that's fine. And I don't have a problem with Kevin Love feeling that way. He just needs to go find his own team where he's going to be comfortable. And I think that's going to happen. I don't think he'll come back. I think Tristan Thompson has proven that he's a starter in this league, and he can put up numbers every night. And I don't feel like Kevin Love will like the idea of coming off the bench. So I wouldn't be shocked if he left.
Let's go through a couple quick thoughts. You can follow Eddie on Twitter, of course, at JumpShot80s on SiriusXM. You're on today? When are you on next?
I'm on today, matter of fact, 12 Eastern time. I mean, 12 Pacific time. 12 to 3. Yeah, I'm SiriusXM NBA Radio 86.
That's good stuff. I hear he is. I'm driving around. Quick thought, should Dwight Howard have been suspended for tonight's game with the flagrant 2?
Well, if you want to go by the letter of the law and what's happened in the playoff, yeah. I didn't see much difference between what he did than what J.R. Smith did. You know, it just so happened that, you know, Crowder was in the process of falling backwards anyway and then hurting his knee, and then J.R. connected. So I thought all of those things played into it. Now, what saved Dwight Howard, and he should thank Andrew Bogut before the game, is Andrew Bogut didn't fake. He didn't act it out because he could have quite frankly fell to the ground and started rolling over. You know how we see guys do.
Yeah.
And that probably would have lifted it to a flavor. But Andrew Bogut did not do it. I'm happy that he did not get suspended because I think the Rockets are in a position where they can do something that, you know, obviously no team has ever done. I come back from a 3-0 deficit. Matter of fact, 116 have failed. But we did see them come back from a 3-1 deficit. So if any team has the confidence that they can do it, it would be the Rockets. And so I'm interested to see this game, and I'm glad Dwight Howard is playing.
When you're watching Steph Curry fall, do you think he should not come back? You're not a doctor. You're not there. You don't know. But as your initial thought, he's out for the rest of the game.
You know, people always want to look at someone else's situation and judge. But when they're in that situation, they think differently. And the bottom line is Steph Curry went in the locker room. It wasn't as bad as it looked. The doctors cleared him, and he came back and played. That's the guy that's handling his professionalism the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any problem with it. That's what he was born to do. That's what he's put his whole life into playing. And look, and you can ask any basketball player, if God was to come take them at any given moment, they'll tell you, come do it on the basketball court. So, I mean, that's just the way it is. And people that don't understand it, they never will, because this young man has gone through this since he's been in middle school. Okay, he has learned to deal with pain. He has learned to play with things not 100% correct, and that's what we do. It's just something that you have to experience to understand.
I'm assuming, I think we're both on the same page, Golden State's going to advance. Your quick thumbnail on Golden State and Cleveland.
Well, it'd be a tremendous series. I think if we had, you know, had this series and said who would win a few weeks ago, we'd probably say Golden State hands down. But Cleveland right now, I think, is playing the best basketball of any team, especially on the defensive end. And, you know, Golden State is the favorite going in, and rightly so. They won 67 games. But I think Cleveland has figured out a blueprint to stop. And the one thing Cleveland does have that's an antidote for their tremendous outside shooting in Golden State is they have wing defenders that can at least give size and bother guys on their shot. You know, you're not going to stop Steph Curry. He's going to have a tremendous series. But I think they can take Klay Thompson away. I think Tristan Thompson can equalize Draymond Green. And I think Timothy Mozgov can pretty much neutralize Andrew Bogut. So now it comes down to the other guys. And J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert are playing excellent ball. Can they counter Harrison Barnes, Iguodala, Sean Livingston off of that bench? And if that's the case, then you know LeBron James can take over a series anytime he wants. And I feel like Cleveland right now, they've turned into the favorite, and that's the team that I'm picking.
Before I let you go, then, last question. You know David Griffin well. I know David Griffin well. I said off the top of this show that anybody that wants to be in sports needs to look at his story, his backstory of where he was, where he went to, and where he is now. Do you have a thought on a former Suns intern in the PR department, now the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, going to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well, he's one of the pioneers of how the league has changed in terms of going with guys that have no basketball experience playing. And you know I'm adverse to that. I have a problem with it, always will. But in saying that, David Griffin is a tremendous individual. He's put in a lot of hard work to get to where he is, and it's not his fault that he's been able to use the system in a maybe behind-the-scenes way to grow as an executive. And look, the one thing about David Griffin that I do appreciate is he listens, and he understands that he doesn't know it all. He understands that he did not play basketball, and he's put Rajah Bell next to him, a guy that can probably buffer conversations that he could have with guys on that team. So he's figured it out, and that's why he's had success.
It's good stuff there, EJ, as always. Stay in touch. We'll see you down the road.
All right, take care.
You got it, Eddie Johnson, at Jump Shot 8 over on Twitter, at JumpShot8, and he's on SiriusXM. Nick Saban is in the sports cycle today. He said some things that I think if you're a Pac-12 football fan or Big 12 or Big 10, if you're anywhere outside the SEC, you're going to roll your eyes on these comments on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. It used to be that by the end of May, college football was checked out. But yesterday, I talked on the show, it's 100 days and counting. So now we're down to 99 days until the first college football games. And we're big about college football here and college sports in general. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, Brad Sussmat with you. There's a couple stories, though, on the college football front that I think are worth talking about today. Eric let me know last night that a fifth-year transfer offensive lineman. We've been talking about these fifth-year transfers and how controversial this has become in the college football circuit. Quarterbacks can just up and go. Everett Golson can just roll on into Florida State. Oregon needs a quarterback because they couldn't figure out how to recruit one. They go poach one from Eastern Washington. Braxton Miller may show up still at LSU. But a fifth-year transfer center going from Notre Dame to Oregon. Why were you all wound up about this last night? I never got back to you on that. It's Matt Hagerty.
Yeah. He played all the time.
Starter, offensive line.
You're playing at Notre Dame. You're not playing
it's Oregon.
You're not playing at Eastern Washington.
It's Oregon.
And you want to go play quarterback at Oregon. And no offense to Eastern Washington. You're at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You're a starter.
Yeah.
Why are you transferring to Oregon? Is there a reason behind it?
Better opportunity to be in the NFL? I don't know. He's a fifth-year senior.
You know
he can go
offensive
wants.
Linemen get drafted from Notre Dame?
Tons. Does he have somebody pushing him from behind?
I didn't read the story. I don't know if it's a family issue. I don't know what his reasoning
is.
What are
you all about?
I just saw it on the crawl, and I was just like, wow, this is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. All these kids are now, I graduate. I'm going to go play somewhere else my fifth year.
I agree with you on that. Okay,
it's one thing if a quarterback transfers, but offensive lineman, what's
but
next?
Even
are quarterbacks going to be transferring
even
now?
Quarterbacks. I'll give Bercovici a lot of credit.
Of course.
For sticking it
sure.
out.
Sure.
And I still to this day maintain that at the Oregon State game last year, as I'm sitting in freezing cold Corvallis, having my Dutch bros, that Bercovici should have come out and played the second half. No, you know, Taylor Kelly's fine. I have nothing against Taylor Kelly. It was just time to give somebody else some reps.
Well, people said the same thing in the Sun Bowl.
Season would have been different. Season would have been different, in my opinion. So we have this Nick Saban story. So a year ago, remember, Nick Saban has waterfalls in the locker room at Alabama. He's making $7 million a year. It's not like poor Nick Saban. I don't have any money in my pockets. I'm a pauper in the college football landscape. A year ago was the SEC leading the charge for the five power conferences to oversee the rules that are out there in college football. But Nick Saban is really concerned that the SEC may fall behind other conferences. Now, is it coming off the heels of not playing the national title game? It's about rules and uniformity of rules. Some conferences have certain amounts of practice time that you can have during the bowl season. Some conferences are allowed to go to satellite camps. Some conferences are allowed to do some things that others are not. And Nick Saban explained, this was on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday, he termed the SEC a farm system, potentially.
You know, my concern is that we don't have a lot of rules in the SEC that are different than the other five major conferences that are going to create a little bit of a competitive disadvantage for us being able to get the same players that everybody else can get. Now, I do think that we should be an example and have a high standard, you know, of integrity and, you know, in terms of the way we conduct our business in this league. I mean, we won the SEC last year, and I'm sitting here apologizing for how we finished. So we need to have a little more global approach in terms of the other five conferences and our conference.
Okay, so I'm hearing this, and he's seeing that other conferences have an advantage. So let's go into the satellite camps. In satellite camps, Todd Graham can go over to Santa Clara or Point Loma or Azusa Pacific. He can go to a lot of different places with his staff and work in camps. The SEC doesn't like them because it allows schools from the Midwest, like Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State specifically, to have a bigger recruiting presence in the South. Okay? So the SEC is not big on these. The Big Ten, which doesn't have as many talented players in its footprint, wants the ability to keep doing them. The incoming commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, says that the league is going to propose a national rule that will mimic the SEC's, meaning we don't like these satellite camps. We want to shut these down. When I hear Nick Saban talk like that, we're at a competitive disadvantage. I don't know. You're taking 25 kids every year. You're not taking 25,000 or 50,000. You're taking 25 football players every year. And so you're going to lose out on what? Two, five? You think you're going to lose out on every kid that we can't get anybody to go to Alabama?
And that's it. I see his point. I do.
He's whining here.
But you're Alabama. You get whoever you want. Look at your roster. They're all 4 and 5 and 3-star recruits.
Sure.
All of them. And there aren't very many 3-stars.
No, and he's, for him to come out and say, well, it's a competitive disadvantage, we're going to be a farm system. It's trying to raise the rhetoric. You have a new commissioner who's coming in. Mike Slive is leaving. Sankey's coming in. Is Todd Graham going to beat out Alabama head-to-head? Is Rich Rod going to beat out Alabama head-to-head? Or go through the rest of the SEC? SEC's come out here to Arizona and has taken players. Players that have gone down to Texas A&M. A player that went to Auburn like Christian Westerman and then said, you know what, I want out of here. I'm going to head back. Nick Saban, of all the coaches, to say we're going to become a farm system. So if Penn State comes down and beats you because they can see a kid, is it just him trying to close the borders? I mean, I was just stunned by this because every year he has either the number one or number two national recruiting class every single year. And so these things need to be global, otherwise we're going to become a farm system for all the other leagues. Are you kidding me? Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Plenty of content up right now on Sports360AZ.com. If you've not checked out our site, welcome on board as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds. We do things a little different, a lot of video, ton of video. We're Arizona-centric. We've been doing this for 4 years now. We have terrific partners that said, we see what you're doing in 2011 and 2012. We put in the sweat equity and we continue to do it every day. We really love doing what we do. We're not just here to go chase a ratings point. It's not what it's about or a click. You know, it's content. That's what you guys want. We see it every day.